I thought, no, that's too hard. So I thought maybe a redeal wouldn't hurt. War 6 comes right after 5. And so the setting is... I thought, no, that's too hard. So I thought maybe a redeal wouldn't hurt. War 6 comes right after 5. And so the setting is where Lucifer, now Satan, is kicked out of heaven for the last time at the midpoint of the tribulation. And what he does, he makes war on
Israel.
Absolutely. Now that's kind of a little bit of the background. Let's read the rest of chapter 12, beginning with verse 10 of Revelation. Somebody want to read? Joanne?
Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time. When the dragon realized that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But she was given two wings like those of a great eagle, so she could fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness. There she would be cared for and protected from the dragon for a time, times, and a half time. Then the dragon tried to drown the woman with a flood of water that flowed from his mouth. But the earth helped her by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that gushed from the mouth of the dragon. And the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children, all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus. Then the dragon took his stand on the shore beside the sea."
Okay, now remember in War 5, the very end of that section we read, it's talked about this woman fleeing. Okay, so that's... in that section, it's also talking about something that's coming up now. That was future. It's still future today. All right, so now, who are these people in heaven? Starts out that are saying this. These people are relieved that the accuser is out forever. Now stop to think about this. Heaven's a literal place. People that you knew that are believers and their body conked out, what about their soul and spirit?
They're in heaven.
Absent from the body, present with the Lord, right? I believe the Old Testament believers are there in spirit form as well. They were in paradise, and I believe Jesus, while his body was in the tomb, took those to heaven. So they're going to be our guests at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Now in Daniel 12 it says that they're going to be resurrected. The Old Testament believers resurrected at the end of the tribulation. Well sure, that's when they get their actual body. They're not part of the rapture resurrection. That's for the church. See the difference? Okay. Well those people have seen Satan coming up there. More than likely. And accusing this person, accusing that person, those that are standing up for Christ. Yes. And they're sick of them. And they're rejoicing. That's what that's all about. They're rejoicing that he is now out. The door is closed to him. And so this war begins with Satan coming here. And he then, and I didn't bring in a lot of other references. I can give you many of them. If we write them down now, we may go through them all here, we may not. Let's see. Also, Revelation 13:2. We need Matthew 24:21. Daniel 11:41. Zechariah, I abbreviate ZA, 13:8. Revelation 7:9-11. 9-14 in Revelation. Let's see. Isaiah 10:20-23. Another Zechariah, and they're in this order for a reason. 12:10. Romans 9:27-28. And Romans 11:25-26. There are three chapters in the New Testament that the replacement people don't like. You know, they say, God's through with Israel, and you replace church with all the blessings that were going to be given to Israel aren't going to come there to them in the future because they denied Christ. Well, all Israel didn't deny Christ because they started the church. All the there was Jews in the church. We were grafted in. The church was designed to be Jewish. Do you know that? The covenant that Jesus referred to in the upper room when he said, this is, as he held the third cup of the Seder meal, this is the new covenant in my blood. Now, where is that given? To the church? No, it's in Jeremiah 31:31. The exact words are right there. And it says that it was given to the nation of Israel. All covenants were made with the nation of Israel. None were made with the church, because the church is a fruit of Judaism. They're not two things. I grew up thinking they were. They're not. That's been a great thing that Satan has accomplished through the church, is to separate from Judaism. The seven feasts are very important, not Christmas and Easter. Really, I'm sorry, but they're pagan. The pagan rituals, really. I'm not saying you have to stop celebrating that, but see, Passover is the Easter. God refers to Passover, you understand what happened in Passover and all that. See, Judaism transits into Christianity, and it took place in that upper room. And here's another beautiful thing. And Jesus said, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until... And what he said refers to the marriage feast of the Lamb.
So I see you again
in heaven, right? See how often I learned that just a few weeks ago. That connection, I hadn't thought it, but I knew it, but I had not connected it. See, it's an ongoing thing. It's exciting when you see all these things. When Jesus speaks, it's not just to have something to say. They all have meaning to it. And the Jews are saying, when are you going to restore the kingdom? They weren't asking for the second coming. They want to know when you're going to restore the kingdom. And of course, that is the second coming. But that's what the tribulation is for, to prepare the nation of Israel for the millennium. The church is in heaven. We're already purified. But he hasn't finished with the nation of Israel. He hasn't restored the throne of David. That's why we're going to have a millennium. Okay. So, Satan comes down and he's angry, and in some of those other references you will read what I'm going to tell you, that he demonizes the Antichrist, right? And now the Antichrist goes to make war with Israel, and one of the first things he does is walk into the rebuilt temple, which is not of God now, this is the tribulation temple. And he declares that I am God, worship me, and has a statue erected in there of him. Of course, that's the abomination that brings desolation. When it says that, during the time of whose trouble?
Jacob's.
So now we're in the last half of the tribulation. That's this 1260 days. The 1260 days, it says time... times and a half of time. Time is a Hebrew expression for a year, a time. So one time equals one, times equals two, and a half a time is a half, and you add them up and you get 3.5 years is the same as the 1260 days. So we've already had this take place. Chapter 6 of Revelation, 8 and 9. Seal judgment, trumpet judgments, they're over with. Now, that was war 5 in heaven, this is war 4. With 8 and 9, the trumpet, and war 3 was the seal judgment, see? So now we're coming to war 6, which is predominantly going to deal with Israel, but also we got to look at what God's doing. When God's pouring out his wrath from heaven through the seal judgments, and it takes place all over the world except for Israel. Remember when the Egyptians got the plagues, but the Jewish people didn't? The flies were over there, but they were protected here? Absolutely, God's going to do the same kind of thing. And so it says a third of the waters were destroyed, and things we went back and studied that. All right, that's referring to all over the world except for Israel. There'll be sections around. And the same with the trumpet judgments, all that destruction. So a lot of destruction has taken place. One half of the world's population is dead by the middle of the tribulation. Those that were martyred, of course, the believers, are in heaven, and it talks about their souls being under the altar. It's a symbolic thing, I believe. But they're crying out, Lord, when are you going to avenge your people? When are you going to do away with them? And he said, be patient. The fullness of time is not complete for the last to come in, because they'll be coming in during this last half.
Did 144,000 start their ministry the second half?
The 144,000?
Yeah, what is...
No, they start here.
They start way back there.
Yeah, they have to, because there's no gospel going out.
Okay.
And the two witnesses. See, this war doesn't deal with all that, but the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, more than likely, they're preaching during this time too. And remember, they're killed. See, then the Antichrist kills them at this time. And then God resurrects them. That all goes on right there too. So this is a whole part's been completed. And so now we have focusing on Israel. But when we come to the bowl judgments, the last of this grouping, of the three grouping of judgments, the seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. All right, those bowls are going to hit Israel. This is why God says, flee. Flee. Because Israel's being taken over by the Antichrist. And so he takes his remnant out. He always takes out the remnant. He says, come out from among them. The whole thing is always remnant. You are a remnant today. And you should rejoice in that. Jesus Christ was a very, very small minority, but a very powerful person, right? Yeah, his followers were a minority. Israel has two parts to it. The Jordan River, and you have two seas, Galilee and the Dead Sea, right? Well, down in here is where Jerusalem is, by the Dead Sea. Up in here is where you have Nazareth and all these towns that Jesus went to. This is where his ministry was, right?
Okay.
He was a Galilean. He's from the tribe of Judah, but he's a Galilean. Only one of them came from this area, Jerusalem area. The rest were all basic guys, fishermen and people of the land. The highly educated one was Judas. He came from here, and he was the betrayer. He was an outsider from the beginning. But these were all Galileans. His ministry was here. Yes, he came down here, and he went over to the other side. He was in Jerusalem and came across the sea up here too, which is now Jordan, but that's where the Moabites and Ammonites and all those were, and Edomites. And he came across. That's where he cast out the demon, said, I'm legion, and all that. That took place across there. But it's a very small area. So, I don't know why I said that. we're centering in Jerusalem now because that's where the temple, rebuilt temple is. That's why there's a fight today for Jerusalem, because Satan knows that Jesus is coming back to restore the kingdom and everything. He's trying to prevent it, and he's working through all these people to get control of Jerusalem. You see how it works? Okay. So now what then happens? This fleeing, isn't that the part that goes on? Okay, so God removes his people and they're going to flee. Now where are they going to flee to? They're down in here, and they're going to go into the area we know is part of Jordan today, because in other prophecies it says Edom. Right? So we know where the Edomites were, and their capital was Petra, and is still preserved today. So people believe that they will go into that rock city. One third will go. Now, let's read the verses that talk about this. The dragon pursues them. Well, the dragon's working through the Antichrist. Okay, so now it's a literal thing. So he's got his military equipment and everything, and he's going after them. So what does it say that happens?
Well, he's pursuing the woman.
And the woman is who?
Israel.
The remnant.
Two wings.
And that she was, they were given two wings and a great eagle.
Okay, and people say, well, this is the U.S. Air Force. Because it's representing the great big planes that are going to come over there, and they're going to pick them up and they're going to fly them over there. No, because if you look throughout the Bible, when it refers to eagle's wings, what is it saying? God says, I will lift you up with eagle's wings. I will protect you. An eagle is symbolic of God. Remember the eagles, the wolves, and they come and so on? It's representing God. God is going to do this supernaturally. Protect them. That's all that refers to. And then what? Jean?
She would fly to the place prepared for her in the desert where she would be taken care of for a time. Times and half a time.
That's the 3 years. Yeah. 3.5 years, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Now, prepared ahead of time. It's been preserved. It's one of the only things that's been preserved there. So it's already been prepared, right? God used the Edomites to build the city and everything, and then he destroyed them. What was the minor prophet that went over and predicted? Because they were laughing when God was disciplining Judah with the Babylonians. They sat up on the hill and said, oh, look what's happening to them. So God sent Obadiah over and says, shame on you, because you have lasted somebody in calamity, this will come to you. That's a lesson for us. When God disciplines somebody, even somebody who's been your enemy, somebody who's been very evil, and disciplines them, we should not rejoice of what's happening to them. We should rejoice that good triumphs over evil, but not take it to the personal level. I know it's very hard, because if you're like me, you like to see justice, but then I look at myself and think, oh, thank God that he didn't put justice on me. He put grace and mercy. Because hopefully they would come around and repent and receive the Lord. That would be the greatest thing, wouldn't it? And that's what he certainly wants. Okay, now it talks about water spewing out of his mouth, mm-hmm. the dragon's mouth. Mm-hmm. What's that? Well, what's going to happen?
He wanted to overtake the woman and sweep her away.
Sure.
Get rid of the land. Get rid of Israel.
Okay. He wants to kill those people. So water spews out, and what happens to the water?
Is it literal water?
Well, let's see what happens to it, and then we'll...
Get swallowed up by the earth.
Right. Okay, now, remember when they were at Mount Sinai and they had that rebellion What happened?
A crevice in the...
Yeah, and fell in. All right. Now, whether there will be somehow a dam let loose and water coming down or whatever, I don't believe that's true. I think it's symbolic of armies. Just like you had the locusts in Joel is symbolic of armies. You can find other places where it talks about, you know, rivers or whatever as military of armies of some kind. And so the fact that the ground opens up, it could be another literal thing like that where it literally opens and those people go in. But somehow God is going to take care of Antichrist forces that are trying to kill Israel. Could be a number of scenarios, but I think that's probably the best scenario.
You know, God is saying, this is my battle, and I'll take care of it.
Yes,
way.
Right. So that's kind of War 6. There are a lot of other references that you could read there to get some of the detail that I've described to you about the abomination brings desolation and so on. But now the Antichrist then goes back into Israel and tries to kill every Jew and every Christian, every believer. Features I've studied under say that all Gentile believers, converts, will be martyred and go to heaven. All the Jewish people, many of them that become Christians, of course, or saved, are in the remnant. And then the others are all killed, the two-thirds. And then after that's done, what do we see pictured as Jesus? When he returns, he comes from Bozra, and Bozra is over here where this remnant is, over in here. In Mount of Olives, he comes with the blood stain because he's taken care of the last of the enemies, and he brings them back. And they're the ones that go into the millennium in the flesh. Does that make sense? But they are believers. They were all Jews at one time. But that's how War 6, so how would you summarize War 6? Who are the, first of all, the time period is the second half of the tribulation. It starts at midpoint and goes to the end, and it culminates with the next war we're going to study, which is the war dealing with getting up to Armageddon here. And the key players, of course, Satan, who demonizes the Antichrist, and the armies of the Antichrist, and the remnant of Israel. The remnant are in this war. Christians, Messianic believers. And who wins? Who wins?
God
wins. I'm glad you said God, not Israel. Israel benefits, but God wins. I learned that God always wins. And he has the first word, and he has the last word. So when you get in an argument with somebody, just remember that. God has the first word, and the last word, you don't need it. Okay? I tell myself that, too. Okay, any comments or questions?
You know, Petra, as I recall, it hasn't...